the Interesting Conversations with Interesting People podcast series with author Nigel Beckles.
Welcome to the podcast.
Please like the podcast and subscribe to this channel. Podcast. Thank you. The very best way to promote your podcasts. PodPage makes it easy to create a podcast website with just a few clicks. Every page is optimized to be found on Google and it stays up to date forever. For more information, visit podpage.com, the future of podcast promotion.
Have you experienced several failed relationships or been through a divorce? How can you avoid making the same mistakes again? How to avoid making the big relationship mistakes is out now.
Hi, my name is Nigel Beckles. My book is packed with practical and common sense strategies that you can use to make better relationship choices.
Now you can discover the dangerous myths about love. If your relationship expectations are realistic, why you could be falling in love for all the wrong reasons.
How to avoid making the big relationship mistakes. It's a book that could change your life.
Available from amazon.co.uk. Kindle version also available.
Author Queen P, When the Mood is Right, A Poetry Journey, Mood Swings, and When the Mood is Right, A Rebirth. Books available on Amazon and all good bookstores.
Hi, I'm Queen P, author of When the Mood is Right, A Poetry Journey, and Mood Swings. Please join me by tuning into my poetry podcast, The Royal Affair, on Anchor, Spotify, Apple, Google, and all other similar platforms. You can also listen to the podcast on the Helium Radio Network on Saturdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
You have entered into the Royal Affair.
Get ready for takeoff.
Welcome back to my Interesting Conversations with Interesting People podcast series. My guest for this episode is a self-improvement expert and podcaster, Kevin Palmieri. Hi, Kevin. Welcome to my podcast series. How are you?
I'm doing well, Nigel. I appreciate you having me on. I love the energy and excited to see where we go today.
You're very welcome. So, Kevin, where do you live at the moment?
I currently live in New Hampshire on the east coast of the United States.
And how is it there?
Today, it is 45 degrees and partly cloudy. Other than that, I don't know. A lot of people think New Hampshire is filled with mountains. Yes, we have our mountains, but we also have our cities like anywhere else. So if I dropped you here, you would have no idea where you are. And it's pretty much like every other state, I would say.
You are the founder and co-host of The Next Level University, a global self-improvement podcast. When did you start the podcast and how is it going?
I started it in 2017 because I enjoyed having deep conversations with deep human beings, and we are growing faster than we ever have. So we're about to cross, I told you this behind the scenes, we're about to cross our 1300th episode. We're actually recording that today. So it is going the best it ever has. We are more fulfilled than we've ever been, and we're helping more people get to the next level. So it is a giant win, and we're very, very, very happy.
So would you consider your podcast a labor of love?
Yes, there's a lot of labor because there's a lot that goes into it. So I told you we do 7 episodes a week. So there's a lot that goes into it. But behind the podcast, there's also a large business. So there's not a lot of downtime. I'll put it that way. So it is definitely a labor of love. And there's a lot of labor, but there's a lot of love as well.
You mentioned business. What is the business behind the podcast?
Yeah. So for us, we talk about self-improvement. And it only made sense to us to say, okay, well, when it was time to make money, how can we actually monetize this? And we do a lot of one-on-one coaching. We do group coaching. We just had a live event last week. We do retreats. We have courses. So for us, it's really, if you like the podcast and you want more value, we have somewhere in our business for you. And maybe it's a little more expensive. Maybe it's a little more of a commitment. But that's the way we've been able to monetize and turn our podcast into a business ultimately.
So how did you become interested in self-improvement and how long ago was that?
I think this is pretty common, mostly a high level of pain. I was in a relationship with somebody. And again, at the time, it looked like I was very, very successful. So when I was 25, I had a sports car. I just won a bodybuilding show. My girlfriend was a model. I had all the markers of success, Nigel. I looked like I was crushing it, but I wasn't super confident. I was very insecure. I didn't know what I wanted out of my future. And my girlfriend at the time ended up leaving me. And that's when I dipped my toe into self-improvement because I had a real vulnerable conversation with myself. And I said, all right, I have been in many relationships none of them have been ultimately successful. I have to have something to do with that, right? I'm at least 50% of what's going on here. So that awareness and the ability to be able to take that ownership, that's when I started trying to learn more about self-improvement and how self-improvement can actually help me improve my life and the lives of those around me.
I think taking ownership is a very important aspect. I have been down that journey myself. I purchased the book Atomic Habits by James Clear a few weeks ago, and it's a great book. What kind of habits do you believe have a positive impact on people's lives?
I am a huge fan of that book and a huge fan of James Clear as well. So that is a great book. Anything that's ultimately going to bring you closer to your goals. I think we forget as human beings that no matter what happens, if you change nothing about your life, 10 years from today, you're going to end up in a different place. And if you're not designing what that place looks like, it's just going to be coincidental, right? You're going to end up in a relationship, maybe, but not one you designed. You're going to end up in a home, not one that you love, maybe doing a career that you're not super passionate about. So anytime I'm thinking about habits, I'm thinking about something that's small and sustainable that is ultimately leading you to a life of higher quality, whether it's weighing yourself every day when you wake up so you have an understanding of where the scale's moving, tracking your bank balance every day so you understand where the money's going, or playing the gratitude game with your partner or yourself before you go to bed. Just one thing I'm grateful for about my wife is blank. One thing she's grateful for about me is blank. If you're riding solo and you're not in a relationship, what's one thing you're grateful for about your life? Those small habits, they seem insignificant in the beginning, but when you do them long enough, they start to compound and then you start to see a large difference. And then you're kind of addicted to doing it because you know it's leading in a positive direction.
How do you think a person can shift from having limiting self-beliefs?
Yeah, that was my biggest kryptonite in the beginning. And I still have, I would be lying if I said I didn't have any limiting beliefs. It's kind of the opposite of what you think. You have to first identify what is the limiting belief. So for me, And this was my self-talk. I am the type of person who would never be a speaker. I couldn't be a speaker. That's just not who I am. I'm not a good speaker. I'm afraid of crowds. I don't want to be on stage. What is the least logical next step? The least logical next step is for me to say, well, you know what? I'm going to do a Facebook Live because it's scary and it doesn't necessarily align with the identity that I had at the time. So if you have a limiting belief, first you have to figure out, okay, this limiting belief has caused me to believe that I can't do it. And because I believe I can't do it, I'm never going to try. And then I'm just going to keep proving myself right. I can't be a speaker, so I don't try to speak. Therefore, when the opportunity presents itself, I don't take it. You have to break the fear into something much smaller. So I had somebody reach out to me and they saw me speak and they said, I'd love to be a speaker. And I said, awesome. All right, cool. They said, but I can never speak on stage like you did. Interesting. All right, there's our limiting belief. I said, well, that's not where you're going to start. You don't start on stage. I said, on a scale of 1 to 10, how outside of your comfort zone would it be for you to record a video and put it on Facebook? And they said, oh, 12 out of 10, can't do it. Okay, that's not it. On a scale of 1 to 10, how outside of your comfort zone would it be for you to record a video on your phone and show nobody? And they said, that's like a 0. That's easy. Okay, that ain't it either. What if you recorded a video and sent it to me and just me? And they said, that's probably a 5 out of 10. I said, perfect. That's perfect. That's exactly where we want to start. So all I'm trying to do with that person is help them create some relevant and recent proof for the next time they have that opportunity. So long answer short, you have to break the thing that you're afraid of into bite-sized morsels, and then you have to eat them for long enough where it kind of becomes normal for me to be on this microphone in front of this camera as often as I am. At one point, this seemed impossible, but I just did it long enough and hopefully improved as I went.
Well, what you just said reminds me of a famous quote by John Ford, whether you believe you can or you can't, you are right.
I would agree. We did a speech recently and I literally said this. I said, for most of us, fear is a fence. Fear is something that we just agree with and say, well, because I'm afraid of blank, I can never do blank. And that's just the end of it. You walk up to the fence, you see that, oh, on the other side, there's a really nice beach, but I can never get there. And it's just, it's about reformulating that agreement you have with the fear. And then maybe again, breaking it up into something smaller that seems more fathomable. Nobody goes from Mount Everest, the base, to the top. There's a base camp and another base camp and another base camp and another base camp. That's the way it's set up. But I think a lot of us only see the summit and we imagine that we can never get there. Maybe we're not capable yet, but we can definitely get to the next level, the next layer, the next summit, whatever it may be.
So, Kevin, if a person is feeling negative or depressed about their life, what are the very first steps they can take to improve their mindset?
I am somebody who likes to reflect into the past. And one of the reasons is I think a lot of us think we're stuck where we're stuck today based on what we did yesterday. In reality, a lot of us just haven't explored our past. We don't understand the traumas we'd have. We don't understand the triggers we have. We don't understand the memories we have and how that affects us today. So number one, I would say you have to learn more about yourself. And I know that probably doesn't seem like it's going to help the issue. But for a lot of us, when we're feeling stuck, when we're feeling down, when we're feeling out, it's not necessarily anything that's happened to us today or this week. It's just a culmination of things that have happened to us over our lifetime. And it's our relationship with those things. So number one, I would say, start asking yourself, why? Why do I feel down? Why do I feel stuck? What am I looking for? Am I looking for certainty? Am I looking for love and connection? What am I ultimately looking for? When's the last time I felt hopeful? When's the last time I felt like I was on a path to progress? Okay, those are a couple questions. And then I would say the next thing for you to do is study what you are lacking. So if you feel like, you know, I'm going through life and I don't have anybody in my corner and I feel lonely. All right, cool. Why don't we find a book? Why don't we find a TED Talk? Why don't we find a YouTube channel on how to build real, authentic relationships with people? Cool. That's a great place to start. So I like the reflect, look back, and then I like the progress of building something now and then kind of bringing that into your future. And I think the last thing I would say is you have to determine what actually fills your cup. So a lot of us, maybe we go to a job we don't enjoy for 40 hours a week. And then on the weekend, we're so far out of our comfort zone that we say, you know, I really want to go for a walk, but I don't feel like it. Or I want to go to the gym, or I want to paint, or I want to do photography. Those things that you want to do, but don't feel the energy for, those may be the things that actually fill your cup and that will bring you more energy. So if you were to sit down and write out five things that feed you, five things that bring you energy, five things that fill your cup, and then five things that bleed you, what are five things that every time you do, you regret? It actually drains your energy doing it. It's not super aligned. I think those are a couple places to start, just because at the end of the day, I think awareness is kind of the most important place.
That's interesting. Regarding relationships, what are the top three tips you would give our audience to improve their relationships?
Number one, if you're triggered, never say the first thing that comes to mind. I have a game I like to play. It's called pinball. So when my wife and I might be having a disagreement, the last thing I want to do is just say the first thing that comes back when I'm triggered. Kev, I asked you to take out the trash and you didn't take out the trash. What am I going to say? Why don't you take out the damn trash yourself? That's not the answer. The answer is, my apologies, I forgot, or whatever it is, like whatever the truth is, but not the truth from a place of ego. So the reason I say pinball is because when you're playing this pinball in your mind, it knocks off some of the dirt. It knocks off some of the bad intentions. It knocks off some of the ego. So number one, play pinball before you communicate. Number two, try to do a better job of understanding what fills your partner's cup. For me, I might not value quality time as much as my wife does. I might not value words of affirmation as much as my wife does. So read the five love languages with your partner. I think that is very, very beneficial and it'll help you understand each other at a deeper level. And I would say the last one is never leave an argument mad. So we try to make it a habit. If we ever have a disagreement before bed, I don't ever want to go to bed angry at each other. I don't ever want my wife to walk out the door angry at me or vice versa, because you never know. You never know what could happen. And I would not want that to be the last thing that we have ever said to each other. So try to make sure that when you have the opportunity to end a conversation, you can do it on a good note. You can do it on a positive note, and you can do it by coming together, not creating distance. That's what I would say. Those are three.
Well, your advice reminds me of the old adage, don't go to bed mad with your partner.
Mm-hmm. It's a simple one, but I think simplicity is often overlooked and underutilized. So if you can do that, you're going to be in a good place.
That takes me back to your comments earlier about habits. It's about forming constructive habits within your relationships.
Within everything. When it comes to love, you have habits. When it comes to wealth, you have habits, whether you know it or not, right? When it comes to everything, health, wealth, and love, you have habits under all of those. The interesting thing is most of us are really good at one of them, right? When I was in the best shape ever, I had the best fitness habits, but maybe my relationship wasn't as good or my financial situation wasn't as good. So I think that's an important distinction.
So Kevin, what are your plans for the future?
To keep on podcasting 7 days a week until my voice can't take it anymore. And ultimately, our goal is to have the most successful self-improvement podcast on the planet. That's what we're playing for. We want to impact more people than anybody else ever has. Not from a place of ego, but just from the place of, I have a very unique perspective. My business partner has a very unique perspective. I think with the two of us together, we can touch more lives than somebody by themselves because we're touching more frequencies and we have more stories and, you know, we have a different level of uniqueness. So yeah, ultimately just keep adding value to people and keep being there for people and keep helping people get to the next level. That is, I know it's a kind of a boring answer, but that is very much what we are playing for.
Kevin, you are far from boring. So how can people contact you?
Yeah, so our show is Next Level University. That's a great place to start because you'll get to know us at a deeper level and see if we're actually for you. If you do feel like we are for you, you can reach out to me directly. My email is kevin@nextleveluniverse.com and my Instagram handle is @neverquitkid. I do all my DMs, so anything you need, questions, comments, concerns, feedback, I am happy to hear.
Kevin in New Hampshire, USA, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Nigel.
Please join me for interesting conversations with interesting people, featuring interviews with award-winning authors, relationship and life coaches, therapists, and a wide variety of people with intriguing stories to share. Interesting conversations with interesting people.
Available on all major podcast platforms now.